Baptist Church in August of 2010, probably one of our best workers was a young lady named Christina Bunch. She was one of our most faithful children's workers. And, you know, from the time I was here, I saw that God had his hand on this young lady. She was a quiet, reserved lady, young lady that has grown a lot in the Lord. And as most of you know, she has been called to missionary work through SIM, an organization called SIM. And she's working in Cochabamba, Bolivia right now. And her mom, Jane, and friend Deidre Edwards were able to make a trip over there back in the summer. And so they're going to come now and share and tell us about what's going on in Cochabamba, in Christina's life, and what happened during that week that they were on mission. So you guys come and share with us.
Hello, can you guys hear me?
Yep.
I just wanted to say first thank you all for all your prayers and for helping us to go on this trip, because we definitely needed them and could see how God was working as we were there, and even looking back at it, how he had planned things out that we weren't even realizing at the time. And so we do have a PowerPoint that we're going to go through, and then we're also going to talk about some of the things that we did on the trip. And so I wanted to start out with talking a little bit about kind of what I wanted to see when I went on the trip. We wanted to kind of see what SIM did and how they used the different missionaries there, and then also specifically Christina's work and what she did and her different ministries there. So one thing that we were able to do was go to one of the orphanages that she works at each week. And at the time, I didn't really know that I was going to be doing this for sure, but they do have children there that get physical therapy, and they usually have students that come from a local college there called San Simon. However, at that time, they hadn't been there for about a month because they were on break. And so I was able to get the privilege of working with some of the students or children there that had needs. And so I kind of just had to assess them a little bit and see what they needed, but I was able to do some different stretching exercises and strengthening exercises with them based on their needs. And there was about three or four different ones that I was able to work at or work with at that orphanage. And also, since the students are just students, the director there said that they usually aren't able to teach the people there anything to do with them. They just do it and then they leave usually, and then there's somebody that oversees them that comes once a month. And so I was able to show the director, who they call Mom, some things to do with them throughout the week as well, whenever she can. I know she's very busy, but she said she would try to do her best to do that. So that was a blessing to get to show her some things to be able to do to work with them and help them also. So that was one area that I was able to serve in. Another area was there was a women's group that another missionary named Faith that worked through SIM, that was one of Christina's friends as well, worked with a group of women that had just recently gotten out of jail, and they do like a Bible study with them. But since I was there, they were wanting me to do like a little workshop with them. So I chose some back exercises and neck exercises and some wrist exercises, because they do a lot of manual labor. And so Faith, the missionary, did the Bible study with them. And then after that, I was able to go over some of the exercises, and I took pictures and that were printed part in English and part in Spanish, so I could read it and then show them kind of what to do, and they would have that to go back to, at least to look at the pictures if they wanted to. And at first I wasn't sure how well that would go, if they would want to do any of them, but they actually had some mats there, and a lot of the women didn't want to get down in the floor, but a few of them tried them, and the ones that they didn't have to get down in the floor to do, most of them were very thankful and appreciative of that. And even though we were there to serve them, after we got done doing that, they wanted to do something special for us. And so they actually had like a cake for us and some drinks and stuff. So that was a blessing as well, because it was like we were wanting to serve them, but they were so thankful that they wanted to serve us also. And so that was really neat. And then there was a separate orphanage that Christina doesn't usually go to, but another one of the SIM workers works at, that we were able to go visit on another day. And most of these places you had to travel a while to get to them and take transportation and stuff. So it did take a little bit to get to the different areas, but we usually would try to go to like one area in the morning time and then a different area in the afternoon time if we were able to, depending on what all else was going on throughout the day. But they also had one child there that they had recently taken in that was 3 years old. And looking at him, you would have thought he was maybe like 8 or 9 months, because he like scooted on the floor mostly or crawled. He tried to pull up a little bit and like walk if he was holding on to furniture. But they said they had just recently gotten him and he had been severely beaten and abused. And so he was starting to do more. They said when they first got him, which had been like a month before we were there, that he barely did anything. He just basically laid on the floor and wouldn't hardly move or anything. So it was good that he was starting to try to do things. And I was able to show, they call them Tias, the people that work in the orphanages, but I was able to show them some things to do with him to help him, to try to work on getting him stronger and getting him doing normal activities that he would usually do. So, that was neat to be able to do that as well. And then I also gave, the ladies that worked there a few of the exercises that I had given some of the other women, so that they could, cause they were saying that they had a lot of problems with back pain and neck pain and things like that, just because of the type of labor they do and from working with kids. And so that was good as well. One other thing I wanted to mention, I know some people earlier were asking about different needs, in the area or things that, Christina might need. I know at the main orphanage that she works at, we did get to speak to the director one day. At that time there was a total of 18 kids in that orphanage, and I think now they have a couple more, but I know she said the big need there was even just getting milk for the infants and having the money to purchase that, because they're not an orphanage that's under the federal government, and they try to keep a lot of the kids that are in families together versus splitting up the brothers and sisters. And so I know she just asked specifically definitely for prayer, and then also if anybody felt led to give to that. I know Christina said that we could do that through SIM, or there's a way we can do it through here and get it to her. And then we could just note that that's what we wanted to give money to if anybody was wanting to do that. But if not, even just to pray for them specifically for that need, that they'll find ways to get the things, you know, basic needs that they have for the children there. So, those were the, main areas, that I served in while we were there. And then we're also going to kind of go through, the PowerPoint and talk about just some other different ministries that Sim is doing and that Christina is doing as well.
Okay, I think probably what we'll do is we'll just go ahead and go through the PowerPoint, and then I'll kind of do a wrap-up and overview of how God gave me this opportunity to go and serve alongside my daughter. Okay, this is the Cristo de Concordia. It's a Christ statue. If any of you have ever visited Eureka Springs in Arkansas and had the huge Christ statue, or if you've seen pictures of South America, you usually see the Christ statue that's in the Andes, Christ of the Andes. But this is in Cochabamba. The city is at one elevation, and then you have to go far up the mountainside part of the city to this Christ statue. But we took lots of pictures the day that we went up there. But this was my favorite because it reminded me that Jesus is the light of the world, and we're to be his light and salt. As Deidre mentioned, the Manos con Libertad, that's the ladies' ministry that works with the women that have been either in prison or have had extreme hardships in their lives or in the lives of their families. There they give women new skills that so they can earn honest livings for their family. So they have sewing rooms, they learn crafts and other things, and we've got some of those examples, some of those things out on our table. But you'll see in this picture, this is a sewing room. Most of the sewing machines were like the old-fashioned treadle machines, if any of your grandparents or great-grandparents had that in their home, or maybe some of you might still have one. But most of them are like that. But they do have some that are a little more modern than that. But they make all kinds of things. And this is another shot of some of the ladies that are participating. Besides sewing and craft, they also teach them cooking and baking skills. Downstairs from the education area of the ministry, they have a little sidewalk cafe. So they teach the women baking and cooking skills and also business skills so that they can run their own business, maybe do a street vendor for food. So they have a bakery, and you have a menu. You can go in. Anyone can come in from the street and order food and eat there. And so the ladies that you see participating in the exercises, especially the one lady with the little white and the little cap, she's one of the bakers. So they were so excited and just bubbling with it. Someone would care to come and teach them, to help them to make their lives a little bit easier. And this is a picture in their... they have all the items that they make there are for sale, and we have some information on how you can contact them. There again, it's called Manos con Libertad, Free Hands Ministry. And if any of you are familiar with World Crafts and that ministry that helps women that out of human trafficking or sex trafficking situations around the world or other hard places in the world where they teach them skills, it's similar to that. The lady that's the actual director of this ministry, she is from England, and she was home on home assignment while we were there, but we got to get a full tour of the whole facility, and we were able to pick up a few things that we liked that they had made, and it was one of those little shops where you didn't see anything that you didn't like, but I mean, they made sewn goods, crafts, they even made handmade cards where they hand-painted them and did the script on them themselves, and just had a large variety. And you can go online to this ministry and order items to support the ministry. The main orphanage that Deidre was talking about, Via Libertad Orphanage, if any of you are on Facebook, friends with Christina on Facebook, or see her newsletters, and she talks about her loves or her Bolivian family and her loves. These are some of the children there. When she's talking about her love, she's talking about the children at that orphanage. To get there from Christina's house, we had everything is a very long walk. Everything is a very long walk in the city. And so we would walk as far as we could that was practical or safe. And then we would get on what's called a taxi or a trufi, which is not in the sense of what we think of as a taxi here, but most of them are like little minivans, but they're not even really that. And you think, oh, it's going to hold just a couple of people, but you might have been just the three of us, or there might have been 10 or 12 people stuffed in this little trophy to travel to the other part of the city. And so in Cochabamba, the wealthier people live in the city, the main central part of the city, and the higher up the mountain elevation you go is where the more poor areas are, and that's where most all of Christina's ministry areas are, up the mountain, and that's where Via Libertad is. When you walk over to their house, as in most Latin or a lot of places in the world, you enter like a courtyard area first before you actually go into the building. But they don't have any space there to play. There's just a small dirt area where they can do their laundry and hang their laundry to dry. So there is a couple of blocks away an area where they can go and play. It has like a basketball court and a concrete slab like we're seeing here in this picture. And that's where we would go after we went and gathered the children. Then we would take them down the street to this play area. And we had quite a lot of fun. Deidre, everybody loves Deidre, no matter where she goes. She was so good. She brought, what all you took?
We had like some different little things, like colored things for them to jump to. Some of the little rackets that you can like pull back and it kind of shoots the ball. Some hula hoops, some like just little balls that they could play with, just some basic play items because they don't have even those basic things a lot of times there. And they were so excited and thankful, to have that, that they were just like looking through all of it and going through everything, you know, trying to, see what they could play with. And then we did also, gather things as well that Christina had requested, such as socks and, some different, specific things, crayons that are things that are hard, markers that are hard for them to get there. And so we took definitely like a huge 1 to 2 suitcases full of stuff. And some of them she held back and was going to save and kind of distribute it out throughout the year as needed. But, we took some of those crayons and things to them also. And like, they were just so excited just to have crayons and be able, you know, to color. So that was a blessing just to see, how happy they were, to use those things and to get those things too. So,
just a side note on that, everyone was just so generous in giving for that opportunity for us to take supplies to them. But what really, Christina was just so grateful for everything, but one of the things that really touched her heart was Ann Holly's grandson had gone shopping with Ann to pick out specific things that he knew the children would like and want to use for school supplies and whatnot. So she was especially thankful for little Ethan being so thoughtful and soft-hearted to want to minister to the children in Bolivia.
This is just a picture to show an idea. They actually had a room that they used for other things, but they did use it for the therapy whenever the students came in. And it shows how they did have like one of the exercise balls and then a mat, and then they had cabinets with some different toys and stuff in it. But it was where you could like shut it off to keep the other kids from getting in there, because typically even if you were trying to take like one or two in to work with them, you know, all the kids are wanting to flock to the same area. So that way they were able to shut it to be able to work with some of them one-on-one. And then they usually try to keep the other kids busy doing other things. But that just shows a couple of the little kids that we got to work with also.
And while Deidre was busy doing her gift of helping these children, then I was in the other room trying to keep all the children occupied, coloring or whatever. And they were really laughing at me all week long because I would just be chatting along. As y'all that know me, I just kind of chat all the time, especially when I'm in the nursery or with the little kids. And they're just, she's talking, and the children kept asking, Christina, what is she talking about? We don't understand her, because, of course, I was speaking English. I have very limited Spanish. And even though the children do have English classes in their schools, they're... that's one of the things Christina is able to help them with too, is their English skills. But they would just come to her, what is she talking about? Why does she keep talking to us? We don't know what she's saying. But I think there are things that are universal, you know, love, spending time with children. Anybody can color, no matter what, whether I can't speak Spanish, I can still color in Spanish. also, the children all have to do their own laundry. So down in the courtyard area, they would have... water is so precious in Bolivia. They've even had uprising and revolts in recent years concerning the water situation in Bolivia. And so to get water to anyone in the city, it has to be trucked in. So if people don't have huge barrels to collect rainwater, which it doesn't rain all year round, it only rains certain times of the year, then they have water trucks. And it's supposed to come every week, but sometimes it doesn't come every week because the government controls when water can be distributed. So sometimes they run out of water, but when they do have plenty of water, they fill up the tubs. They have like many of us may have done when times were harder, or we have a tub that is the wash water and a tub for rinsing, and then maybe a second tub for rinsing. But each child has to do their own laundry, and then they just hang it up there in the courtyard. Just wanted to mention too, Deidre mentioned the one ministry, one orphanage that we went to. SIM, Serving in Mission, the mission organization that Christina works through, has a lot of partnerships around the world. This organization is over 100 years old and started as the Sudan Interior Mission in Africa. And that's why it's called SIM. And they have many partnerships all around the world. They literally have missionaries from countries all over the world that go to countries all over the world. And they have partnerships with some of our IMB and NAM missionaries in different places. They have a very tight relationship with Samaritan's Purse, especially in West Africa. The specific clinic that's been in the news the last few months, that's actually a SIM clinic, but Samaritan's Purse helps to run it. And so the first two doctors that were brought back to the States that were sick, they're SIM missionaries. Just a little side note there. Compassion helps out with some of the orphanages that SIM works with. And this one private private orphanage that we went to is one of the examples. And then Christina's friend Faith that Deidre mentioned. Faith is, her family is Asian, but her family is from Canada. Toronto, I think, was where she was from. And from the time she was 16 years old, she felt called to South America as a missionary. So she was down there for just several months this year, seeing if this is where she was supposed to be specifically working in Cochabamba or not. And so she works with, she has also a partnership with Compassion. So she worked with a new church plant there and this new site for Compassion and for this new church that she was working with is located within the city, but it's next to, you have the Bolivian Air Force Base on one side of this area, and just on the other side of this area is where the city garbage dump is. That was really interesting place to go and visit. We couldn't take any pictures there because of the, except for the facility, main facility itself, because of the security and the risk of having any children's pictures being. In fact, we were told when we were leaving that actually it's against the law to take pictures of any Bolivian children. No one told us that, but you know, we always asked before we went anywhere if we could take pictures, and we did take pictures where we were allowed. And that's the lady in the center. That's Faith. She, in fact, her birthday is almost exactly the same day as Christina's. They're the same age. And that's two of the Compassion workers. Compassion, I keep saying that, but if you're not familiar, Compassion International is an worldwide organization. Quite often, if you go to a conference or you'll see an ad on TV for Compassion, it'll show a child that needs someone to partner with that family to give monetary support each month to help them with food or other life's necessities. And so that's what Compassion International is. Christina, she just calls everyone down there her Bolivian family because she has her Hillcrest family. She has her family she was born into. But God has placed her with some wonderful, wonderful friends in her Bolivian family. And those of you that were able to be here earlier when we Skyped with her met one young man, Eduardo. Her one family in particular, Boris and Roxana Montero. Boris and Roxana are missionaries. They have worked in the past with Samaritan's Purse, with New Tribes. They work in partnership with SIM right now. Roxana is who made my lovely little wrap here for me. She literally made it by hand. She didn't use crochet needles or knitting needles or anything. She just somehow, I don't know. I'm not crafty, so I don't know how to explain it. But anyway, she made this for me. It's really special. But they're just a wonderful couple. They've got two children, Michael and Nico. And the boys attend the Lions Club International School there in Cochabamba. And I had mentioned that to Brother Harold because I knew he was Lions Club. And to answer the question about was it the Lions Club They do have a Lions Club organization that meets in Cochabamba, and it's a very big presence there. But her understanding, the school itself is supported by just not that local group. It's supported by the international group overall. So it gets support from Lions Clubs here in the States and other places. Eduardo, I mentioned, the pastor of Christina's church that she serves with. Eduardo is the brother-in-law of Pastor Luis, and so he's the brother of Marinella, the pastor's wife. He's just a nice young man. He works outside of the city. He has to travel quite a ways up to the jungle area to do his job every week. And then Alfredo is another young man at her church. He leads the youth on Wednesday nights for their Awana Club. They have a big Awana Club that meets at her church. And Alfredo, he speaks three languages, Spanish, French, and English. So there was one afternoon where he went with us for an hour or so to one of the mercados, to the market, and he helped watch over us so that we didn't get hurt in the crowd. And he translated for us and explained a little bit about that market because we hadn't had a chance to go there beforehand. Eduardo is Spanish. He speaks Spanish only. Joel, which we spell Joel, but they pronounce it Joel. Joel is a young man. He goes to the university. He has wonderful musical talents and gifts, and he serves with the worship team at her church. Donaldo, he's a middle-aged man that he has a taxi. He runs a taxi. That's his livelihood for his family. And he has currently been leading been the music leader. They don't have a music minister as such at their church. So he's been leading the music for both the choirs and the instrumental worship teams at their church. Nice young man. Nice man. To me, he's a young man, but he's not really a young man. But anyway, he used his taxi to take us back to the airport the morning that we left. And then of course there's Pastor Jose Luis and his wife Maria Nelly, wonderful couple. They are Bolivian nationals. All of these people that I just mentioned are all Bolivian nationals. And he just has a heart for the family. When we were there that Sunday, his sermon series was on family, and it was just. Shouldn't be amazed, but just there are just so many things. If you haven't traveled in the world. When you do travel, you'll see there's so many things that we have in common. And they're, you know, common things, you know, family relationships. Family is so important there, but yet when there's difficulties, they have the same struggles, finances, relationships, that sort of thing. So he was, the focus that day was specifically on husband-wife relationships. And, you know, he told some interesting stories. He was like pastor. He likes to use illustrations. So he reminded me in a lot of ways of Pastor David. So just a wonderful family. And, like, we have our flags here that represent the different countries that our Hillcrest family has gone to serve and for the Lord. Well, at his church, he wants the missionaries to bring flags from their home country. So Beth Mokar sent an American flag with us to present to Pastor Luis, and he was so excited because he had never had a U.S. flag before. So he was going to be able to hang that in the worship center. You can go ahead and speak to that one.
The day that we went to see the Christ statue and shows a lot of the friends. I'll try to pick out the ones that I can see. I'm standing there, and then next to me is Roxana, and then Jane and Christina, and then in the front there is Michael, and then next to Christina is Eduardo, and Grace is a little girl that Roxana and Boris adopted. And we actually were there on the one-year anniversary of her adoption, so we got to celebrate that with them as well. And then Faith is next to Eduardo in the reddish dress. And then Boris, Roxana's husband, has the white T-shirt with the red and the yellow. And then Nico is sitting back behind him on the rail. And then... I think that's Alfredo. Is the one on the very end there. So. And then this is another picture of Grace at her house whenever she was playing and smiling real big. And she loves Christina a lot and is very excited to see us. And but any time that Christina was around, she was always right next to her. So she was like her little tag-along. And then this also shows a picture. We were talking about the school that they were in. When we were down there, there was a national holiday there, so a lot of the kids had off of school, and they all were in uniforms, and they had a big parade that we got to go watch. And in the picture with the boy stooping down, that's Michael. He was playing an instrument in the parade, so we got to see that as well.
Okay, this is one of the newer areas that the Lord has given Christina to work with a kids club. The area of the city is called Sakaba. They had never, they meaning the city officials, the tribal area, had never allowed missionary outsiders in before. And the Lord gave her this opportunity to start a kids club there. And after she had this opportunity, then this other couple has come alongside her to help. And that's something that's really on Christina's heart as she's building these new relationships with all the Bolivian nationals there and working with the children. Her heart is to serve there, but also she knows that she's there to train and equip the nationals so that when she comes on home assignment or whatever her next assignment will be, if she gets to go back to Cochabamba or someplace else, then there are people that are there to continue the Lord's work. So the couple there is Eber and Benet, and they work with the children, like a backyard Bible club, kids club kind of thing, where the kids come in, the mamas, the Chilitas, the Quechua women, don't usually want to just leave their children there, so they'll come along too. And so then the children have a time where they, Eber and Benet, they do like a puppet ministry, and they have this like a parrot that they use, and it's really cute. So they'll tell a story and have a Bible lesson, and Christina will help out with that. And then Faith was also helping us out for that location on that day. So Faith came along with us that day. And so we worked with the children with that, and then we had activities in there. Again, the supplies that we took, you know, they were able to have new crayons. Some of the children had never even had crayons before, so they got to color, and they were so excited. Simple things that we forget and take it for granted, but they were just so thrilled. These pictures, the building, and I say this in the sense that it's a partially enclosed spot in the dirt. It wasn't really a building. But this is outside of Eber and Benet's home. It's actually like a courtyard area, but it's everything is just very dirty just because it's not, I mean, the people are clean. It's just the areas, there's just so much dirt. There's not not a lot, no lawns and no well-manicured areas except in specific parts of town where there are some parks. So, you know, we were just kind of there in the dirt. And anyway, so while the children are having their lessons, the mamas, the Chilitas, are they're learning skills. There's a group that comes and they teach them textile painting, where they can paint on cloth or do embroidery or something like that so that they can also learn a good income for their families. But the kids are, when there's enough workers helping out, they divide the children out by ages, but Christina doesn't always have enough help, so sometimes all the children have to meet together. And I think Deidre helped out with you and Faith kind of work together that day, so you can give some perspective to that because I was in the other area with the other kids.
Yeah, when the group that we were in was the preschool group, and so they did with everyone first kind of the puppet show, and then after we split into groups, Faith did like a little song, which is what you see her doing the motions for there with the kids. And then they had like a craft that went with the Bible story. So she did a little Bible story, and then they had the craft that went with it. And they were trying, they were happy to have the crayons and markers and things, but the benches were like bars, so they had spaces in between them, so it was really hard for the kids. They were like trying to color, but they couldn't even color on something flat because the ground was just dirt, you know. And so they did have a couple things that they could take turns with passing around, like little flat surfaces, but it was hard for the kids. You know, they didn't have enough for everybody, of course, so they just kind of had to share those.
This is another picture of the courtyard area. That building there, that is Eber and Benet's home. And from what we saw, that's one of the nicer places of the mountain, the people that live up on the side of the mountain. So they're, they've got chickens and other livestock wandering around in the area. But, you know, trust and relationships is a big thing. As anywhere, you know, you have to earn someone's trust. And so, you know, and part of her being allowed to be into this area, and then now Eber and Benet have opened up their home to a lot to for this opportunity. You know, there's trust that has to be built on and learned, and then the training. And like I was saying, you know, the women are there at work learning their new skills, so it keeps them occupied and gives them a reason to come. The chilitas, that's a typical garb for them, the little hat. And then the wrap that they use, they carry everything in that from, I don't know, huge bags of maybe rice or potatoes or whatever. They carry their children on their back wrapped up in that. And then the women don't cut their hair, the chilitas, they don't cut their hair, so they have these long, long braids that go down their back. It's just wonderful, warm people, but you just have to earn their trust and just be patient. When we first arrived in Cochabamba, before we could go out into the city and go along with Christina to visit any of her places the Lord's given her to work, we had to go to the SIM headquarters and have a cultural orientation and a welcome from her coordinator, Amelia. Amelia, she is a SIM missionary. She's a Bolivian national. She's in her early 40s, and the family unit in Bolivia is you stay in your family unit until you're married, if you're a woman. For a single young woman to be out in the work world or as a missionary like Christina, that's almost unheard of or not usually allowed. So Amelia had to get special permission from her mother to be able to join SIM and to work outside of the home and live on her own. But we asked Amelia lots of different questions while we were there as well. She had questions for us. But one of the questions that I have is, you know, what can I bring back to our church family so that they can most easily understand Bolivians and the culture here? And she said, well, the main thing is common to all cultures, love, acceptance and value, and that's the most important thing to any human being, whether you're a Bolivian or a U.S. citizen or you're from West Africa or the Middle East or Asia, wherever you are from, that's common to all. And just some fun facts, just a reminder, we went there in late July, early August, which everybody thought, oh, you're going to the tropics. No, where we were was not the tropics. South America, their seasons are opposite of ours. So summertime here is wintertime there. As you all know me, I'm always cold and I'm always wrapped up in something. So it was cold. It's felt like it's been here the last few days, really chilly at night, 30s, 40s or so at night, and then maybe get up into the 60s or so in the daytime. Parts of Bolivia are in the, let's see, the Tropic of Capricorn goes through Bolivia. So that's the latitude and longitude specifics. The elevation for Bolivia, the highest elevation in Bolivia is 8,482 feet. And Cochabamba is at... Well, and so that the range for Bolivia is 1,600 meters to 5,400 meters, And so Cochabamba itself, the city, is about mid-range. It's at 2,558 meters. Bolivia is one of the only landlocked countries in South America. You have Peru and Chile and Argentina below and beside Bolivia, and then, of course, Brazil to the east. But part of the Amazon jungle, Amazon region is, Bolivia is and has part of that up in the northern area. And then this was just a fun thing. This has amused Christina the whole time she's lived there. There's a stadium just a few blocks from her apartment. Where her apartment is currently is where the guest house is for Sim. So if we took a large group down to work alongside of her, they would stay at the guest quarters. And just a few blocks away is a football stadium, which, of course, football to them is soccer to us. And outside of the stadium is this huge Olympic statue. It has the man, you know, with all the typical Olympic bare necessities as clothing, and has the Olympic rings and everything. But there have never been Olympic Games in Bolivia. They've never had any games there. And so that's always been a mystery to her as to why or how. But it's just a salute to athletes around the world is basically what the placard on the statue says. But we just thought that was so interesting because, you know, here's this huge statue for the Olympics, and they've never had games or never allowed them in that part of South America. So anyway, I just first and foremost want to thank the Lord for how he continues to use his people to continue his work. You know, we were commanded to go, and so we go. And some of us that aren't able to go, we help support by prayer and by finances. And I just want to again thank my Hillcoast family, and there's some of you specifically that know that contributed immensely to the trip for me. Had it not been for that, there's no way that I could have traveled. But my trip was completely funded by the Lord through people that were obedient here in supporting through finances. All my expenses were paid that way, either through that or I found a few little odds and ends at home that I got rid of to pay for. I had to have a yellow fever shot, for example, but one family specifically gave me all the money I needed for my visa, my tourist visa. There were other families that gave me money towards my airline ticket, and I just so appreciated that. One lady in particular said, well, you have to go. You have to go see your daughter. And she knows who that is. So anyway, so I just appreciate that so much. The trip was interesting to get all of everything together as far as coordinating the trip. And I don't know if Deidre will ever travel with me again or not. She had been with me when we went to Illinois on a mission trip, so she kind of knew how I was outside of church before, but I think we laughed more that week than I have in a very long time, and I just really needed the trip in itself. Someone said something about my vacation. Well, I don't think it was exactly a vacation. We spent a lot of hours in the airport and even more hours sitting on a plane. It's an 8-hour flight from Miami to Cochabamba. We spent a few hours here and there in lines for security and drug checks and trying to communicate without Spanish to people that we didn't want to get on a bus. We wanted to get on a plane. There's a long story with that. I'll tell you sometime if you want to hear it. If you ever have to travel to Bolivia, I highly recommend the Bolivian Airlines. That's who we use for our connection from Miami to Cochabamba. And they just started that flight in June. They had served many other areas in the world but had never served the U.S. before, because Bolivia is not on extreme friendly terms with U.S. The president or the country's leader there, he has close ties and a mentor. His mentor is the leader of Venezuela, and he's great friends with the leadership in Cuba. So those of you that know a little bit about the world, know what that kind of means. He has done some good things for the country, but there's a lot of things that are not done for the benefit of the people at large. One thing that Christina mentioned when we were on the Skype is her concern for the area up in the jungle region. She's feeling a calling that maybe the Lord might want her to relocate from the city of Cochabamba up to more of the jungle region. And that's the area where a lot of the cocoa is grown. Some of it is used for the purpose that we would want cocoa leaves and such to be used for. But unfortunately, there again, as some countries do, they use a lot of it for illicit uses for drugs and such. So that's a big presence and a concern. So her prayer request is if the Lord wants her to relocate to this area, that that she'll be able to follow his will and be his instrument there to help the children to learn about Jesus and to be shown his love through her. Another concern for prayer, with the national elections that they just had, there's also a possibility with their Congress that there may be a law passed that is not going to allow anyone to work in Bolivia with a missionary visa. And that would affect not only Christina, but hundreds of missionaries work in Bolivia on a missionary visa. They could still work there with another type of visa, you know, if they were professional, like a doctor, nurse, teacher. But someone that is just considered a missionary may have to leave the country. So that's a concern of hers, because that would affect not just her personally and hundreds of missionaries, but the organization overall. Some missionary organizations may have to leave the country if this law passes and they decide to enforce it. So that's two main concerns. Did you have anything else you wanted to add? Does anybody have any questions? If I don't know the answer, I'll try to find out the answer. Yes, Steve. Okay, as with a lot of Latin America, the Catholic influence was introduced hundreds of years ago when they came in. There are some huge Catholic cathedrals there. Also, like a lot of countries, Catholicism gets mixed in with the tribal beliefs and the other beliefs that they've had. So some things kind of get mixed up. But there's a huge evangelical presence there. Not only this, just to remind everyone, SIM is a Christian missionary organization. So it's not a Baptist organization. So there are missionaries there from other evangelical church groups that work with SIM. So there's just a huge presence of different denominations there that are working. But there's other religious groups working there too. There's a huge Mormon tabernacle there. You can see the Angel Moroni statue on the top of their temple from a large part of the city. So they've got a huge presence in Bolivia. And there's other groups similar to that. Mormons, I would think, would maybe be the first after the Catholic and the evangelicals. Yes, Pastor? Did you have another question? Oh, okay. Yeah, so mentioning the Catholic, there, Christina's friend Selma that partners with her teaching a Sunday school class at her church. Selma's mother is a street vendor. She sells food, and we were able to go and eat some of her wonderful cooking one evening. But her street vendor, where she has her little place, it's right outside of one of the huge Catholic cathedrals. So every time she comes and she sets up, the nun, one of the main sisters, one of the nuns, always comes out and wants to sell newspapers and other religious items to her and to the people that are stopping at her little sidewalk cafe. And it's difficult because the nationals, if you're not Catholic, the nationals don't really want to interact with the Catholics. So there's a little bit of a hard feeling there with the mama and the nun, in that the church really doesn't want her there, but she has a permit to be there, so she's going to be there. And she doesn't really want them interfering with her customers either. So it's it's kind of a tough place. Anyone else have any questions? Just a reminder, Christina, because she's not working with the International Mission Board, which those missionaries are funded through our cooperative program, and that's a wonderful program. As churches, we need to fully support our cooperative program in every way that we can. Pastor mentioned Baptist Global Response this morning. That's huge for water quality and for helping out around the world to make sure people have clean water, have food. SIM is an organization where each missionary has to raise their own funds. As the Lord allows them, they have a certain amount that is estimated that they're going to need for living expenses and for ministry expenses. And so when Christina was raising her funds to do that, there were several people that stepped up and were very generous in helping her with monthly support pledges. Some people, because conditions have changed, they haven't been able to keep up with their monthly support, and that's totally understandable. But then there's other people that have stepped in. There's even a lady from, I believe it's Michigan, that supports Christina. She's never met her, doesn't know her. But this lady, her and her church have always supported some missionaries, and their missionary that they had supported in the past retired, and so they asked Sim, who can we support? And the Lord gave Christina to them. So that's when Christina comes home on assignment next summer to report back to the headquarters for Sim in Carolina. She'll be here to report in person and spend some time here with her church family. But her desire also is to go to Illinois, because David Thompson's church, Lake of Egypt, they are a supporter of her also. She wants to go and spend time with Brother David and Angie and the church family there, but she has a desire to go to Michigan. So that is, that's a mama's prayer request, is that all the logistics will work out so that she'll have transportation to be able to go, and not just to be visiting and traveling on and having fun vacation, but she literally has to go and report and to her current supporters, but also has to gain more support in order to remain in the mission field. So I just thank you on behalf of her, and just thank you all, that those of you that can't go, that you support, and those of you who can go have gone and will continue to go. And we can always work up another team to go.
And we did also bring back, if you try to help. This is a flag that represents specifically the poorest people of Bolivia. And so we knew that we had a regular Bolivia flag. So this one's very colorful, but it represents the poorest people. And so we brought this also to hang wherever we decide that it will go best, but to represent those people. And so we can remember to pray for those people as well. So thank you guys again.
And we thank you for a great presentation tonight, and very informative, and we've learned a lot. And now we can kind of envision some of the things that Christina's doing on a daily basis as we pray for her. And it's important we continue to lift her up in prayer. Just want to close tonight with a passage that really struck me as I was listening to them share about the trip. But in Malachi chapter 1 and verse 11, the prophet Malachi gives a prophecy of what's going to happen in the future. And the future is now. This prophecy is occurring right now in our lifetime in the church age. It says, "For my name will be great among the nations, from the rising of the sun to its setting. Incense and pure offerings will be presented in my name in every place, because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts." And we see that happening today as we see faithful people like Christina step out and say yes to their call to make Jesus' name known to all nations. So as we think about that, let's stand together. We're going to have an invitation here tonight. We never want to close a service or a time together out without having a time to come forward. And so I don't know how God has spoken to you tonight, or maybe over the last several weeks, but if there's someone here tonight, you need to come to this altar for some reason. Maybe you just want to pray here at the altar. Maybe you need to give your life to Christ. There's no better time than now. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. And so if you just need this time to make some sort of commitment to Him, use it for that. If not, let's use this time together to worship our Lord and to commit ourselves to Him.